This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Rich Eisen Show.
And Tatum is hurt. Tatum is down. Tatum in so much pain.
The fact that he had to be carried off, he's the type of guy that when he gets right up, so he did it.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The number one pick goes to the Dallas Mavericks.
Today's guest, senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck, Lions safety Kirby Joseph, co-owner of Wrexham AFC, Rob McElhenney, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel, live on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, Infinity Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 375, Odyssey, and more. We've got Rob McElhenney coming in here, along with two players from Wrexham in support of the newest season of Welcome to Wrexham, which debuts and drops later on this week. So he's coming by here. Dan Quinn, the head coach of the Washington Commanders. We just found out they're going to be playing against the Dolphins in Madrid as the drip, drip, drip of the NFL schedule 2025 version is coming out. Slowly but surely, Dan Quinn will be joining us in hour number three of this program. Kirby Joseph in studio from your Detroit Lions, hour number one. Howard Beck is going to be first up here on the show. You at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you, sir?
Cool.
Okay, good to see you over there. DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts.
Good morning, Rich.
Good to see you. TJ Jefferson, how are you?
The quote De La Soul 3. That's the magic number. So okay. That's where the sixes are.
So fantastic. Magic. Oh, yeah. So the draft lottery is in fact, complete. But we start this show with the top story coming out of last night's Knicks game, and that is Stephon Diggs and Cardi B are an item. Who knew that? I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah. You didn't see that they showed to the game?
I heard rumblings for months, but they became Facebook official yesterday?
I'm just trying to get Chris to smile.
I think that's a real good sign for the Patriots season, not going to lie.
Well, I mean, hey, suddenly there might be Patriots fatigue because where everybody's tuning in to see if Cardi B is going to be there. I mean, that's the way it went with the Chiefs, right?
Got them a title. Maybe the work for Chris.
I would say one giant difference.
See, this
TJ,
guy, this two. Guy. I'm just trying to get you.
Oh, it's not happening. I'm going to be sorry, in pal. Such a terrible mood all day. And
don't
it's
be in a terrible mood.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Why would
about
I not
it.
Be in a terrible mood?
I know.
My favorite player on my favorite team is now out probably all of next year. And the Celtics had, as currently constructed, it's over. The era is over. Their run is over. It was great. Got a championship. But it all ended last night, and I'm really sad, and I'm really bummed. And it's going to take a while to get over.
Well, in terms of that too, I mean, we're obviously referring to Jason Tatum going down with what appears to be an Achilles. I thought because you know he was writhing in pain, and they go to commercial break, and we started texting each other. You know, when Achilles get torn or popped in any way, shape, or form, right? That you normally see the guys don't, you know, they're not writhing in pain, right? Like when Dame Lillard went down, he just sat there, right? Aaron Rodgers went down, he sat there.
You've seen differences.
Like Kevin Durant, remember we watched it? Yeah. We watched his calf like twitch, right? Mm-hmm. Like we saw the super slow-mo because it was in the NBA Finals when they have 50 slow-mo cameras on every single human being. Yeah.
Kobe was like just like in shock. I mean, look, I've seen different, you know, different reactions.
So I just thought we would come back and we would see him diving for the loose ball, and he was stepping on someone's shoe, right? Like his ankle would have just rolled something horrible. But instead, it was when it looks like he was propelling himself towards the loose ball, no contact. And we're still waiting to hear the word here from Boston.
Or I guess New York, maybe he got it done, you know, just down the street from Madison Square Garden. I don't know. The MRI is going to come back, and I think we're going to find out that he's not only just done for the series, but as you point out, Chris, the foreseeable future. And yeah. He was having the night. Now, yeah. Obviously, in the first two games of this series, when the Celtics were missing most of their threes, there was even conversation like, where's Jason Tatum's hallmark game, big moment? And obviously, Chris, you push back being the big fan.
He's had several.
Right, you
yeah.
push back with yeah. a handful of them.
Right.
But in terms of his career writ large, last night was being authored as his Madison Square Garden moment. And everybody, great, all the greats have their Madison Square Garden moments against the Knicks, obviously. And he was having it. At one point, Mike Breen appropriately said he was unguardable. He was unguardable. He was absolutely unguardable. And his three-point shooting at the end of the first half sparked a 12-0 run because I think Derek White made one and Pritchard made one.
Derek White started on fire last night. Tatum had 15 in the first quarter. He was on one right from the get-go.
But it was a one-possession game with 2 minutes to go in the first half, and then, boom, double digits, which is what the Celtics carried into the third quarter, in which Brunson began to answer back.
Brunson was unreal in the third.
He had almost 20 points in the third quarter, and that's what last night was. Breen, in the same breath that he called Tatum unguardable, he called Brunson unstoppable. This is why Breen has the Emmys. And it was an absolute classic unfolding in the Garden. And the Knicks did have a couple possession lead when Jaylen Brown lost control of the ball. OG Anunoby picked it up for an uncontested dunk on the other end. And the Celtics season and potentially next season and future got altered on the spot. And the Knicks finished it up 121-113. And in finishing it up to take a 3-1 lead on the Celtics, the broadcast, the ESPN broadcast, showed Tatum in a wheelchair in the tunnel. And, you know, Jaylen Brown had this to say after the game.
I think everybody's concerned, you know, with Jason. You know, I'm not sure how bad it is. Didn't look great. But I think everybody is, you know, kind of more concerned with that. Obviously, the loss is huge. And but we got to get ready for game 5. So we'll take the night and pick our heads up tomorrow and put together a game plan to come out on our own floor to keep this series alive.
Well, he's going to have to, with Tatum out, because I can't imagine the news is going to come back so positively that it's just he'll be there for game 5, let alone have an intact Achilles when we hear at some point, we assume over the next 3 hours, that Brown's going to have to crush it. He's going to have the nights of his life to extend the series, to at least force a game 6 and force the pressure back on the Knicks to avoid a game 7. But these are just only the best case scenarios. And I'm sorry, Chris. As you know, I also live in a household of Celtics fans. I married into a family of Celtics fans. This guy is a superstar of superstars, having one of the biggest nights of his career. Every single time he touched the ball, like it's going in. And when he missed, it was kind of surprising.
Yeah, he was having a great night. Unfortunately, he was kind of the only one. It was him and Derek White kind of carrying this team. Jaylen Brown didn't have a great game. Pritchard was kind of off. And Porzingis is obviously still feeling the effects of whatever illness is.
But he was out there at least, played. Right?
He was out there, but it was
some
like,
of the first two games of the series where he just disappeared.
Yeah, but he clearly wasn't kind of doing anything. Horford wasn't doing anything. And, you know, they had no answer for the Knicks. You know, best offensive night of the Knicks in this series. You know, credit all to them. Jalen Brunson, OG, and Mikal Bridges were awesome. They were, seems like every time they had an open three, it was going in. And Bridges had that mid-range game going. You know, bummer. Probably maybe the Celtics wouldn't have won anyway, but the last 3 minutes was shaping up to be absolute. Like,
here comes Brunson, here comes Tatum. It was a prize fight in a garden.
Yeah.
42 points for Tatum. 42. 16 to 28 shooting, quite frankly.
Yeah, really. He could have had a 50 piece last night, for all we know.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was like 6 minutes left for when he scored his 42nd, and I thought, okay, yeah, he's going to put up 50 tonight.
Yeah. He had to. If they were going to win the game, he had kind of had to do that, but unfortunately, played out how
it's like you said, man. We were setting this up, Brunson and him, back and forth, blow for blow, punch for punch, kick for kick. It was like watching a great battle in an octagon or a boxing.
It was a great game.
And before this marred everything, I was I was already making notes about how I was going to come in here saying, the Scott Foster treatment. His thumb was on your scale last night for a while. No first half free throws for the New York Knicks.
Well, you got to go to the basket to get free throws. Jaylen Brown was in inexplicable foul trouble. Like some of those.
So
was
Josh Hart.
Some of those.
It was crazy.
On both sides.
Right. Pritchard got two free throws after a clear travel underneath the basket.
Well, he got shoved in the back.
But it was. I don't know, man.
Tatum double dribbled for on the one and one that he got, and it was just kind of like, okay.
What are we looking at?
The Brunson called that he called. Brunson does that thing that Reggie Miller used to do, where he sticks out his foot in the landing spot.
Oh, you're talking about the
Jaylen Brown.
The flagrant
foot didn't even move, and then Brunson sticks out his leg and lands on Brown, and that's a foul on Brown. Like
Hart definitely tripped Tatum on the way to the rack. That one play.
Where he hurt his wrist.
Yeah.
By the way,
threw his
Joe
leg
Mazzulla
out
wasn't.
There,
I think Breen even pointed out Mazzulla's not yelling at him to get up from this one.
Yeah. Officiating was kind of dicey last night, but it didn't matter. The level of basketball being played was so high.
It was great.
And, it's kind of what we were hoping for in this series all along. But,
And Rich, we talk. I know you specifically don't like it when players load manage and take games off, right? There's a guy that we never really talk about is Mikal Bridges. I don't think this dude's ever missed a basketball game in his entire life.
I think since high school, right?
Yeah, he's had a really long streak.
Every night he's there, like you said, the mid-range, he was looking like a mid-2000 Sean Livingston. Just the elbow jumper was just on point. Like, this guy gets no real recognition, but they don't win that game last night without him kind of bridging the gap.
He was hitting everything.
Brunson.
44 minutes last night. 11 of 21 for Bridges and a 23-point night. Karl Anthony Towns, 23 and 11. OG Anunoby, 20 points last night as well. Yeah. Josh Hart with just 6, but 9 rebounds, 5 assists. And then, of course, there's the maestro himself, quite frankly, with Marbury there. I was explaining to Cooper, that's Marbury, that's Latrell Sprewell, that's John Starks, that's Bernard King, that's Larry Johnson.
That's Walt Clyde Frazier.
And that's Walt Clyde Frazier, and that's the Schmecky guy in the hat. We won't talk about him. But, and Brunson, and there's Ewing, obviously. Mm-hmm. And there's Jalen Brunson, who is 100% in that mix with these all-time Knicks. If not the best of his generation.
And
what he's turned into, let me have a couple seconds here, what he has turned into, the clutch player that he is, the facilitator that he also can be. He had 12 assists last night when this team was down and staring in the face, and my Knicks fan friends were texting me, this is Celtics in 6. honestly, because it was looking that way. Tatum's unstoppable, and the defense was smothering, and the Knicks were getting frustrated. We were just a couple minutes away from the Mitchell Robinson free throw of Palooza, and the guy who prevented that from happening was Jalen Brunson. Mm-hmm. All of it. Now, the Knicks did the right thing. I said it at the time, and all of my Knicks fan friends were flipping out about Julius Randle being sent away and the big ragu. And Randall has the Timberwolves sitting up 3-1 in another series marred by injury. And we'll talk about that with Howard Beck of The Ringer in a second. And Randall has been spectacular in the playoffs for the Timberwolves. So this trade is all working out right now. But Karl Anthony Towns coming in and Bridges, those five first-round picks, again, we talk about it in the NFL all the time. When you make these trades and you trade picks,
if it works out, who cares?
We don't talk about it, right? We don't talk about, you know, we talked with Brandon Bean about Josh Allen the other day. We don't talk about how they traded up twice to go get in position for him, right?
Not true.
Don't talk about it. So the 5-1s for Bridges and the trade for Karl Anthony Towns, as long as it continues to work out and they're healthy enough, because Thibodeau plays like 3.5 people. So and they all play 90 minutes a game. I'm obviously exaggerating. So
that's a record.
And everyone's like staring all over the steering wheel. It looks like the Knicks and Pacers last year, which was the second round exit for the Knicks in 7 games because they ran out of gas and ran out of bodies. We're staring that in the face. But another Jalen Brunson signature game. And my apologies to the Celtics fans. And we will talk about Cooper Flagg going to the Mavericks and everybody thinking that the fix is in the lottery. And we'll talk about the draft lottery later on. Coming up next, we throw it a break because we want to talk about all of that and what Giannis, could Giannis wind up a Spur or dare I say even a Mav now? Howard Beck of The Ringer coming up. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. May is Military Appreciation Month, and we're celebrating the military community that goes above and beyond every day with Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal was created for the military community and is dedicated to ensuring that its members feel celebrated and honored every single day. For over 90 years, Navy Federal's mission has been to support and uplift the military community, and this May is no different. It's not just a credit union. It's also a partner dedicated to helping its members achieve their financial goals. All active duty, veterans, and members of military families are eligible to join. Navy Federal is excited to celebrate Military Appreciation Month as a special time to recognize our troops and the profound contributions they make. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/celebrate. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. So right around 7:15 p.m. Eastern time is when the smiling face of Mark Tatum showed up. My gosh, I don't know the assistant commissioner of the NBA, but that guy's got a great smile.
He's very happy all the time.
And I just don't think it's fake, you know?
I don't either. You never met him, only ever seen him during the draft lottery reveal.
Yeah, and how could you not be happy doing that?
Do you remember the anchor, Bill McAtee? You saw him on CBS. He used to do the Masters also.
That's right. No.
Bill had this way about him, I noticed when I was working on CBS, that he would do an on-camera lead-in, and then at the end of it, he would just smile. So he would just basically say, that's coming up later on CBS. Just like that, every time. And I kept thinking to myself, is he really happy that he's been, did he get through the prompter? Did he get through the read happily? Like, is that what it was? But, you know, he would just finish up and he would go, yeah, just like that.
Hey,
yes.
Hey, yeah. Hey. And the Mavericks have the first
day. Yay. Hey. But when you do it with like, team that tanked, you're out of the top five. And then he would smile. Don't you think that's like
and the that's fifth a pick big, is that's the Utah dick? Jazz.
You know, it's like, hey, Utah, you've been screwed. Does that just dig it in even worse? Don't smile about that, Mark.
Or team that didn't tank. You could have ended up with the first pick, but you chose not to.
Miami Heat fans. You could have had the spot the Dallas Mavericks had, and guess who's got the first overall pick?
Nico.
Yes.
It's perfect. Oh, my God. That's what I was thinking about the entire time.
That is perfect.
Of this lottery.
What a job.
The smiling deputy commissioner. We should do a new show on ABC. Let's deputy commissioner. So much to talk about with the... senior NBA writer of The Ringer, Howard Beck, is back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Howard. How are you?
Great to see you too, Rich. Doing well. Hope you're doing well as well. And before I forget, please say hello to Susie for me.
You just know how to come correct, Howard. She would say, "Did Howard say hello?" So I'm glad we can check that box. Good to see you. So, what a bummer. This is just the only way to put it about Jason Tatum. The guy was having one of the greatest basketball nights one can have in Madison Square Garden for a defending NBA champ. Just a superb evening. And then we saw what happened. Best you can tell, is this an Achilles injury, Howard?
That's obviously the first thing going through all of our heads as you're watching this. If you've watched basketball for any length of time, and if you've ever seen a guy go down with a non-contact injury and immediately holding that part of their leg, and then the emotion that overcame him immediately, you could just see, like, he knew whatever it is. Jason Tatum is pretty sure it's a terrible, devastating injury, because the emotions as well as his pain telegraph that immediately. So you hope against hope. You hope that it's not an Achilles, and you hope that Jason Tatum will be back on a court before too long, although it doesn't seem likely until at least next season at the earliest. So that's all just awful. It's terrible for the Celtics, clearly, and for their title defense. And it's devastating more than anything for Jason Tatum personally and for his career. And Rich, you said it, like, the guy was having an incredible night. I mean, we all talk about this. We rhapsodize about Madison Square Garden, and like, there's just no better place to have a career defining game or just a spectacular night, period. And in the playoffs and with your team down and you're trying to rally them. And, you know, the story was being written, you know, like the script was being written for this phenomenal comeback where Tatum can tie up the series and Celtics can tie up the series, get back in this thing, maybe beat the Knicks in the series and go try to defend their championship. And right now that's looking rather bleak.
Well, in terms of the long-term future, assuming this is something so significant, Howard, what are the Celtics looking at in this offseason? There was already word that, you know, with second aprons and things like that, that there were some big names that were going to get moved off this team anyway. What does this mean, do you think, for the Celtics?
So my friend Bobby Marks over at ESPN, obviously the guru of all things salary cap and second aprons, first aprons, other various kitchen attire. Bobby has noted for some time here that they were looking at probably like a $500 million payroll and tax combination for next season. And of course, this is happening while they're also going through an ownership change. And while Wick Grosbeck's group has always been willing to spend whatever it took in luxury taxes to keep this thing going, it's not clear whether the new ownership group, which has not yet been approved officially, will do the same. So there's that piece of it. If you win a championship, if you go back to back, you know, the pressure's on you as ownership to keep everything together, no matter what it costs you. But in today's NBA, it's also not just about whether you're willing to keep writing checks for tens of millions or hundreds of millions of extra dollars. It's also about these aprons, and these aprons take away your ability to continue to build your roster or to replace players if they're lost to injury, for instance. And it makes it very, very difficult to sustain your roster. So the Celtics, with or without Tatum being injured, and with or without a championship in June, we're already going to be in a really difficult position. And I think that this complicates it that much further.
Howard Beck of The Ringer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's talk about a trade that worked for both teams. It appears as the Timberwolves and the Knicks are up 3-1, both of them on the cusp of their conference championship game series appearances. Let's take the Knicks first and what you're seeing from this team, different, obviously, from the past few years, Howard.
You know, Rich, what's really fascinating about the Knicks right now in this moment is that they are kind of recapturing the spirit of what made last year's Knicks team with Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo instead of Karl-Anthony Towns so beloved and so admired. The Knicks last season were just incredibly scrappy, tough, resilient, all those things, every adjective in that category. And we saw it in the playoffs last year. They kept losing bodies and they just kept winning. And they finally just ran out of bodies and ran out of gas. And they lost to the Pacers in a game 7 at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, from the moment they made that trade to get Karl-Anthony Towns, and you understood why, you know, they'd lost Hartenstein to free agency. They couldn't keep him. They tried. And they needed a center. Mitch Robinson was hurt. And you knew you were going to miss him for at least half the season. And Towns was available. And we'll talk about that in a second. But Towns was available. And Towns is a very different fit than the Hartenstein-Mitch Robinson combination. I think there were moments this season, Rich. And, of course, they also picked up Mikal Bridges last offseason. There were moments this season where Knicks fans felt very conflicted about this team. They were still winning at a decent pace, but they weren't quite as dominant as they'd hoped. Bridges didn't look like as fluid of a fit as Knicks fans and the Knicks themselves had hoped. Towns, as we know throughout his career, incredibly skilled offensive player, not a rim protector, not always the grittiest player. And it seemed like the Knicks had lost a little bit of what had made them special, especially last spring. And somewhere along the way here, Rich, they've got that back, and that includes Towns. Now, he hasn't had, you know, a dominant game every time out in these first two rounds, but he's come up with some key blocks and key stops at times and key rebounds at times. Bridges is looking much better now than he was, you know, a few months back. It all seems to be falling into place, and they are once again embodying the spirit of their tough-as-nails point guard, Jalen Brunson, and their tough-as-nails head coach, Tom Thibodeau. And I don't think Knicks fans are having any of that ambivalence that I was describing from a couple months ago.
No. And then on the flip side, Julius Randle with a triple-double in Game 3's victory for the Timberwolves in San Francisco. And then, you know, Anthony Edwards doing his usual walking the walk, talking the talk situation in Game 4. And they're on the verge of going to the Western Conference Finals, Howard, again. Here we go. The Timberwolves have got that look about themselves, and I'll give you the floor on that. And what a bummer that Steph Curry got hurt in this series.
Yeah, yeah, we need to ban injuries.
Yes, I agree.
Anthony Edwards has been fantastic. There are moments where you think, is he getting it? Is he going to get it? And then suddenly it's like, oh my gosh, yes, there it is again. Steph being out certainly puts a damper on the ten, you know, just the overall picture of this series. Certainly a bummer for Warriors fans who thought maybe, you know, Jimmy Butler was going to get them over the top again. It's been fascinating watching Randle and to a lesser extent DiVincenzo fit in there. I alluded to this a minute ago. This was a financial decision. We talked about the second apron and all the features of this new CBA. If not for the second apron and all of that stuff, I don't know that they were trading Towns. This was not a basketball-motivated decision last summer as much as it was a financial and a bookkeeping decision. And you wondered at the moment that they made it. They gave up the best player in the deal in Towns, but they got two really valuable rotation pieces. Randle's had a really up-and-down last couple of years in the postseason when he was in New York. Knicks fans had very mixed feelings about Julius Randle, a little bit of a love-hate thing with him. And part of that was he just didn't, he couldn't stay healthy in the playoffs. But there's also been moments where he'd faded at key moments. Randall's been fantastic. DiVincenzo has done for Minnesota a lot of what he did for New York. And it's worked out really well. Again, like, I don't think that they would have done this in a vacuum if it was just about the basketball, but it has really benefited the Timberwolves. And yeah, I don't know if we would have said this a couple months ago, but as of right now in mid-May, with these teams both on the verge of making the conference finals in their respective conferences, it is going to be the classic case of a trade that truly helped both teams. And, you know, nice to see that occasionally.
No doubt. Howard Beck here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, Howard, if I had tinfoil, I'd make a hat out of it for this next question. The number of people who thought the NBA put their thumb on the draft lottery scale for the Dallas Mavericks to get Cooper Flagg with their 1% chance, just under the 2% milk, right? That they go 1.8% to Cooper Flagg. I've lost track on the number of people who say, well, you know, the NBA watched Nico Harrison fumble the bag, and at least they had him set up the Lakers for post-LeBron. Now let's do him a favor and send Cooper Flagg there. I've lost track on the number of people who say that. And you, sir, are an inveterate NBA man. He's covered this league and association forever in a day. I give you the floor on this subject matter, Howard.
Rich, if we were texting right now, I would wear out my finger on the eye roll emoji. It would just go over and over and over and over again for pages and pages, and you would finally be like, Howard, please stop, enough. I get it. My eyes are going to roll so far, they're going to go into the back of my head. Listen, I get it. I get it. I get it. But no, 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 this is not a conspiracy. The lottery is not rigged. I'm not in Chicago. I'm home in Brooklyn, but I've been in that room before, the lottery room, the actual drawing room where the ping pong ball machine is. And the folks from Ernst & Young, the worldwide, very respected firm of Ernst & Young, presides over this whole thing. There are, I don't know, a couple dozen people in the room. You've got the representatives of every team that's in the lottery. You've got a bunch of us from the media who are there as the neutral observers. You've got other various NBA officials and people from NBA security. You can watch this whole thing unfold, and they now put it on online. I think it's on YouTube or maybe on the NBA's website, where you can go and look, and you can see this for yourself, how this goes. It is a complex process. It is a detailed process. There are all kinds of safeguards built into the process. And when I've heard people say, well, oh, if you were in the room and you knew something happened and, you know, nobody would be able to say anything because what, you know, the media would lose their credentials or whatever. For this to be a conspiracy that we could all witness in the room and then all keep silent, that would require, among other things, among the many, many holes in this whole stupid conspiracy theory, that would require the complicity of all the teams that lost the lottery. Why would they do that? Why would the other 13 teams that were in the lottery be like, yeah, it's okay. Let the Mavericks have it. You know, they made a stupid trade. Let's give them the best pick in the draft. Why would they be complicit in that? Now, if you want to say it's somehow rigged because the lottery balls, the ping pong balls are somehow weighted or this or that, or there's some way of fixing the whole draw, okay, fine. You have accused a massive number of people of I don't even know how many felonies and fraudulence perpetrated on the public, not to mention perpetrated on members of their own organization, perpetrated on other NBA franchises. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think it's possible. I don't think it happens. I hate that I've had to even expend this much time saying why it was not the case.
Howard, I hear you. Because, you know, I hear all the time how the NFL is fixed, it's rigged, and my answer is like that. That means the other franchises in the league are complicit to say, sure, let's make sure the Chiefs continue to win because the league loves Taylor Swift going to these games because it brings in a whole new fan base and a lot more revenue. It's absurd. I just wanted to give that that moment to you to explain, you know, how it all works. That said, there is something off about this draft lottery where the three teams with the three worst records have the same chance of getting the first overall pick. And then winding up, since they've changed this way of doing things because teams and franchises in the association could not be trusted to not tank en masse in the final throes of the regular season, that there's something off here that a team like the Wizards pick sixth and a team like the Jazz picks fifth and the Hornets fourth. I mean, the teams with the worst records in the NBA aren't even in choosing in the top three. I mean, something's got to be done about at least the way they go about the setup, Howard, don't you think? Or no?
Rich, 10 years ago, we were having, not necessarily literally you and me having, but we, right. The collective,
right.
We were having this discussion in the opposite direction, which is teams are tanking too much. The process era Sixers did their thing. And we've got to do something about teams being able to manipulate the system and get a top three pick. And the NBA responded by reforming, quote unquote, reforming the lottery. And in doing so, gave the teams with the three worst records an equal weight or equal chance of getting number one, different chances of getting two and three. And so this has worked. What the NBA did to reform the lottery several years ago has worked. The whole point was to dissuade teams from doing what the Jazz and the Wizards did this season and what some other teams did as well. But those were the two most egregious. The whole point was to say, don't try losing intentionally just because you're going to try to game the system. You can't game the system anymore. You'll have a better shot than most teams at the number one pick, but not 25% anymore if you had the worst record. Now it's only 14%. And that's supposed to dissuade teams. And the lottery results in the last several years since reform have shown over and over that being a bottom three team does not guarantee you a top three pick. And a lot of teams have tried this gambit anyway and lost in the same way that the Wizards and Jazz lost out last night. That's the system working. It's not the system being broken. That's the system conveying that you cannot manipulate this thing. And if you try, all right, you know what? You might get the number one pick, San Antonio, or you might finish fifth or sixth, Washington and Utah. So this is the system working. And I don't know. I get that people now, especially if you're a fan of the teams that really thought they were going to be at the top of the board, are suddenly wringing their hands going, well, now what do we do? I get that frustration, but we have to decide what we actually want out of this. Do we want a system that rewards intentional losing, or do you want a system that has enough volatility where you can't manipulate it?
Well, I mean, the crazy thing is now people in Miami are saying they should have not made the the play-in tournament because had they not played out of that tournament, to just get wiped off the face of the earth in the first round, they would have had the slot the Mavericks had.
Yeah.
And assuming the ping pong balls bounced in the same way, Cooper Flagg would be going to South Florida right now. And that's what they're talking about in Miami, Howard, you know? So yeah. Now we might get to the point of like, what's the point of making the play-in tournament to play out of it only to get smoked in the first round? You know, like that's part of the conversation today.
Yeah, and it's part of the reason why the NBA has been very careful in the way that they've devised the lottery odds and the system. So when they were discussing this, you know, 10 years ago, one of the things, you know, people go back to like, well, why don't we just go back to the way the lottery was at the very beginning, where every non-playoff team has equal odds of winning it all. But then the problem is exactly what you're just describing, Rich, where if you're on the fence about making the playoffs or the play-in, versus just, you know, letting go of the rope and being a lottery team, even as the 13th or 14th team in the lottery, if it's equally weighted throughout, you might as well say, yeah, I'm better off in the lottery. Why do I want to go be cannon fodder as an eighth seed? I'll just opt out of the playoffs and I'll have just as good of a chance of winning the lottery as the 14th team as the one team. So that's why they haven't gone back to that. And that's why I don't think they ever would go back to that. But what's interesting is, as you point out, you know, Miami can sit there now looking at exactly what unfolded and knowing where they would have been if they had just lost in the play-in and not made the playoffs. It's just like there's always going to be a cutoff point. There's always going to be some team that had to make a decision. And at least in this case, in real time, Miami could not have known that the team with the one of the lowest chances of getting the number one pick was going to get it, right? So there's still no incentive to decide to be a lottery team instead of a playoff team if you're on the borderline in, you know, early April. So again, I think this is the system working. It just, you know, sucks if you're the Miami Heat or Miami Heat fan. I mean, it's the basketball gods can be cruel, although not so much in Dallas right now.
My favorite, Howard Beck here, a couple minutes left with the senior NBA writer for The Ringer, Howard Beck here on the Rich Eisen Show. My favorite meme coming off of the draft lottery of the Mavericks winning the first overall pick was a quick gif from the equalizer where Denzel Washington has a gun pointed right at him, right? And it says, this is Nico Harrison today. Denzel Washington has a gun pointed right at him. He steals it right out of the guy's hands and points it back at the guy who had the gun. That it's now flipped. You know, Nico is now, look out now. Nico has completely flipped the script thanks to the basketball ping pong gods, right?
Yeah.
He's not going to trade this pick, right, Howard? I mean, there are some people in Dallas who think this could be another. I mean, he's not going to. You want him to.
I mean, Giannis
Brockman
is right there.
Wants him to.
Number one pick and a couple other dudes for Giannis. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, they have Anthony Davis. I don't know. I don't think they'll do that. I mean, but the Spurs have got the two, right? They got the second overall pick. I know they have Wembanyama. I mean, how does this all work together with the Giannis looming over these proceedings now that he supposedly has the wanderlust from Milwaukee, Howard?
Yeah, I mean, what a wild change of fate for Nico Harrison. I mean, I don't think he's necessarily getting a parade thrown for him tomorrow. Like he didn't do anything to win the lottery. That's just luck. But it certainly gets him off the hook for what might have been, what probably was, the most unpopular trade in the history of professional basketball on Earth or in the galaxy. It's great. Look, I'm happy for Mavericks fans for sure. They deserve this after the heartache and everything they've gone through. It does present like fairly, and it was funny because I texted a couple of people around the NBA last night from other front offices, and they were like, "Yeah, don't put anything past Nico about trading the pick." But I think there's actually, you know, jokes aside, a case to at least consider it, right? Mm-hmm. They have said, and look, Kyrie's injury, the ACL injury, puts this in a little bit different light. But Nico's justification has been in part that we've got a window here. Kyrie's in his early to mid 30s, and Anthony Davis, who they've acquired, you know, in that same time frame. So if the whole thing is we're trying to win in the next 3 to 5 years, how confident are you that Cooper Flagg, any rookie, frankly, can contribute to winning at a high level immediately? Because it doesn't happen very often in this league. I mean, Wembanyama is a generational talent, just an absolute incredible athlete. And Wembanyama has not turned around the Spurs in the first 2 years, injury aside. Rookies don't generally catapult a team to title contention. And so if you've got Anthony Davis and you've got Kyrie Irving coming back, who knows, maybe January or February of next season, and you say that the window is now, well, if the window is now, there's a case to at least be made. I'm not saying I'm making it. I'm just saying it's out there that if you traded Cooper Flagg for a high-level veteran who helps you right now, maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe somebody else, there's a case for it. Not saying they should do it, not saying they will, but there's a discussion, I think, to be had, and they would be foolish not to at least have that conversation internally and weigh the pros and cons.
Well, I mean, Dallas would check the Giannis box of no state income tax if that is, in fact, a rumored truth. And so what is, before I let you go, the status of Giannis's mind right now, Howard, that you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to add anything new to this discussion that we haven't all already either heard, perceived, or heard whispered. But Giannis was putting, you know, kind of, I don't know how to frame this, but even he had a report or an interview with the New York Times, I think it was 2 summers ago already, where he had kind of hinted at the idea that listen, I want to win more championships. And he has said this in various forms in various places. I want to win more championships, and that's the priority. And if I can't do it here, we'll see. Well, the Bucks have clearly reached the end of the road here with this group, with this roster, with Damian Lillard as his running mate since Dame went down with the injury and is lost for the foreseeable future. And given his age anyway, I don't know how much longer they had to go together. Giannis has not, as of yet, demanded a trade. And I think we're in that weird kind of in-between zone where if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you don't want to voluntarily trade a generational talent like Giannis. If you're Giannis, you don't want to have to look like the bad guy by saying it's time for me to go and make the trade demand. I suspect that what will eventually happen is the two, you know, entities, the team and the player and his representation will come together and mutually decide that it's best for all parties if the Bucks chart a new direction and Giannis goes somewhere where he can contend. I think that's where this is all going. I'm not saying that. That's not a report. Please don't aggregate it. I just think that that's where this is inevitably heading. And I think we're in for a wild summer.
Too late. I think it's been aggregated by three other spots, man. That's what happens when you come on the Rich Eisen show.
Those guys are fast.
Susie is going to be sitting in this chair a few times over the next couple weeks, Howard. So be on the lookout. Bolo for a Susie Schuster invite back here. You are one of her favorites, and the same goes for us. Thanks for the time, brother.
Always appreciate it, Rich. Great to see you, man.
Howard Beck, senior NBA writer for The Ringer here on the Rich Eisen show. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out for recovery, it's game changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can use your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Okay, this is not a drill. Get ready, because Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, hits theaters May 23rd, and I'm counting down the days. This is it. The biggest practical action movie ever made. Tom Cruise and director Christopher McQuarrie are back, pushing the limits of what action cinema can do. We're talking real stunts, real danger, and real edge of your seat intensity, all shot in jaw-dropping locations around the world. Did you see that trailer? Tom Cruise free-falling through fire, Haley Atwell back in action, and the whole crew reunited. Ving Rhames, Simon Pegg, Isai Morales. It's like the ultimate global team-up. This franchise started almost 30 years ago, and it just keeps getting better. Mission is more than a movie. It's a high-stakes ride built on loyalty, friendship, sacrifice, and seriously gutsy stunts. So, yeah, I'm beyond excited to see Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, on the biggest screen possible in a theater, May 23rd. This summer, the mission is clear. Don't miss it.
We're thrilled to have on the representative of the Atlanta Hawks in last night's NBA draft lottery, whose presence lit up Twitter. There's no other way to describe it. Jamie Gertz here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Jamie?
I'm great, Rich. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I am doing fine. For all of your shocked fans out there, how did you wind up where you were last night?
This is our fourth season. We're going into our fourth season of owning the Atlanta Hawks basketball team. My husband said to me, "You've brought me a lot of luck for the past 30 years.
Nice. Yes.
So I would like you to be the one to help pick us our lottery pick." And I was like, "Are you serious, honey? I can't believe that you're making me do this." But I have to say, it was tons of fun. I think ignorance is bliss. So I kind of didn't, you know, I was the one up there who really, you know, I knew it was important to us, and I knew what our percentage was. I think it was 13.7% chance. And so, you know, the train left the station and you just jump on board. And I was just decided that I was going to have a good time.
Okay. So, Jamie Gertz, you are saying that you knew going in that your chances were not less than zero. Is that what you're saying?
They were not less than zero. I feel my odds were a little better than that, for sure.
You do realize that there were just tons of your, I guess, your filmography and TV references being made on Twitter last night. There were a few spare square tweets.
References, okay.
Yeah,
there you go.
There are a few about
it's
that.
It's better on Twitter than when I'm in the restroom and someone asks me if I can spare square.
Does that happen to you? Does that happen?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You walk in and people are like, "Hey, can you spare a square?" I'm like, "No, I do not have a square to spare." It has happened to me.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. So, and all in all, how do the Hawks as an organization feel about that third overall selection that you were able to bring home?
I think the fact that we moved up was huge. I mean, I was just looking at my husband and my son and Travis Schlenk, our GM, and they were beaming. You know, we did a little rehearsal. They do a little rehearsal with everyone, and they said, okay, if you become the top three, then there are these marks you have to go stand on. And I'm like, oh, well, I've been doing that for 35 years. You're preaching to the choir. I know how to hit my mark. So once I knew that we were, you know, top three, and I saw the relief in their face, I knew that I had done my job, and the real work starts now for them and figuring out the best pieces of the puzzle for the Atlanta Hawks. You know, we're on our way. We're putting the pieces of that puzzle together, and it's very exciting for our fans and all of Atlanta.
Yeah, we've covered the lottery in many different ways. One of them is getting Jamie Gertz on the program after she appeared at the draft lottery. Kind of stunned everybody in the... Was that the year they got Trae Young? Who did they wind up getting in the... I think that was the year they got Trae Young. Could have been that.
Yeah, they wound up getting traded. They basically swapped
right
one for one there.
But. That's what ended up happening.
Yeah, and then Atlanta ended up winning the draft lottery last year.
That's true. That is correct.
Not being one of the top three teams with the worst records.
Unbelievable. Oh. We'll discuss this a little bit later.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
We got the end of the hour coming up, and then Kirby Joseph of the Detroit Lions is chilling in our green room, and we'll bring him out. YL in Pittsburgh here on the program. What's up, YL? You there, YL?
He's up.
YL is SOL.
All right, YL.
No, just put him back
on. Hang on.
Put him back on hold there.
I can't wait to hear what YL's going to complain
about. I know, me too.
I would say this, knowing YL, it will be Mike Tomlin.
Probably.
Okay. It'll be something Tomlin related.
Tomlin always top of mind with YL.
Stay by your phone, man. I may need you.
All right. It will be something Tomlin related. You know?
Save your time.
When is Aaron Rodgers going to say yes? What's
going
on?
Who cares at this point?
What do you mean, who cares at this point?
I mean, like, come on. What are we
Steelers
doing?
Steelers fans care at this point.
Here, coach.
On Wednesday, tomorrow night, I will be on NFL Network for 3 hours with the schedule release, and we will see who the Pittsburgh Steelers are playing in week one. And the question is going to be, is that Mason Rudolph's?
You just say Steelers just now?
Yeah, why not?
Sound like you said Steelers.
We'll find out. Tomorrow night, we're getting Steelers the schedules, and we did find out that something was wrong about what I found out. We finally got another combine rumor that was answered that was wrong, and we'll get
to that. That's right.
Because the international schedule's out. We'll hit that.
Some tasty matchups in these.
Look, we know the opening game. We know we're going to start with the varsity.
Okay.
So This guy. And then what? No.
Talk about the Cowboys too much.
If that
gets you so butthurt, then I'm just going to keep doing it. Then
look at me. I'm TJ Jefferson. I don't want to talk about the Cowboys.
I don't want to talk about the Cowboys until I want to talk about the Cowboys. Kirby Joseph for the Lions coming up.
When they're worth talking about.
We'll talk Wrexham with Rob McElhinney.
When they're worth talking about.
You know what? Here's the thing, I can't stand in this world, TJ.
What can't you stand?
You know what I can't stand in this world?
The Cowboys
Somebody's saying something completely edgy at best, off the charts, arrogant at worst. And then when you have the appropriate reaction as just a normal human being going about life, having been assaulted verbally by this statement, now suddenly you're butthurt by reacting in that way. So I'm the butthurt one. You're not the butthole one saying something so butthole-y.
My God, man, it is May, and I'm calling my team the varsity, which any one of you can do to your team.
I don't want to do that.
Well, then, you could. It's just a nickname, and it's just something I
can
call
Michigan the varsity because Michigan football's ratings are through the roof.
But you want your cake and eat it, too.
No, like, not
at all. You want to call them the varsity and then get mad when we talk about them all the time.
When I say varsity, do we run back the tape? Was I a cheesy smile on my face.
No, who cares? You can't hide behind that.
Embrace it or not. You may deliver the package nicely, but when we open the package, what's in the box? It's a head I don't want to see.
Ooh.
You know what I mean?
I don't even know how those two correlate.
Spoiler alert, what's in
the
box?
I don't know what Brad Pitt has to do with this.
Because your smile, just because you packaged it so nicely, calling it the varsity.
I'm making jokes.
Me said calling my team the varsity,
yes,
that really upsets you,
yes,
that
it does.
Much? Wow, then
yeah,
you've got, bigger problems than...
I'm butthurt.
Well,
what's in the box?
I know Juan Soto's what's got you butthurt. You're like, oh,
no. He made a great catch of a catchable pop fly yesterday in right field. Oh, wait a minute. I'm told he butchered it completely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Smitch sent me the video and said, do you want to handle this one? And I said, my man. My man.
What's the team record?
Smitch cut the video for me and everything.
That's the one.
A video we can't post on the show?
No. But it wasn't for the show. It was for our text chain.
Gotcha.
Because okay. He knows what makes me happy. Thanks,
by
Mitch.
The way, it's a that Knicks made me down happy. Right
let's,
now.
Huh?
It's
see.
Not a Mets down.
27-15. We're doing well, just
they
fine.
They have the best record in the National
we're
League.
We're doing fine.
Mets are on
fire. Right now, it's
Mets are on fire, dog.
Well, yeah. The Knicks are the only team, I think, in New York that has Mets
polar
and Yankees
TJ,
fans rooting
up?
For the yes. same team.
Polar bear.
Right.
I have the polar bear in fantasy.
Oh, good. Thank you for letting us know that.
No problem.
That's so great.
That's why he's so good at fantasy baseball.
Yeah, I'm in first place.
Yeah.
Rich,
good.
What would you do if the Knicks actually win the championship?
Oh, that would goodness. Be that would be quite something. I mean, there's a long way to go. It's a tall order, Nordberg. Kirby Joseph coming up.
Wow, Nordberg.
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the Mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.